John chapter 3, verse 1. So this morning we take it proper. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night, and we said yesterday night that discipleship sometimes can take morning and night. That means if you are in a habit of missing times, sometimes I only attend morning services, I don't attend night services, then what will happen is that you will miss this kind of Nicodemus stories. And it looks all nice until you know that that's where John 3:16 stemmed from. So that means we would have lost a cogent, pertinent, important, I want to stress it, conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus if John was not there. So he said, discipleship is every time. And he said unto Jesus, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher that came from God. No man can do these miracles except God is with him. Now, we said something last year, and I'm going to reiterate again, that when it comes to ministry, it's not teaching or signs and wonders. Because there's this notion and opinion in the body of Christ that some are teachers. In fact, I remember some days ago when we were starting church, you know, it's just last week that we started. And then someone asked me, a minister of the gospel, really, a pastor. I said, so what's going to be your specialty? I understood where it was going to go. I wanted to be clear. So I said, I don't understand. I don't get specialty. And he said, you know, some people major on faith. And some people major on marriage. And some people major on prosperity and finances. And some people major on the ministry of healing. And he cited Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin. When he said Kenneth Hagin, I laughed. Because you can't just pin Bro Hagin to healing ministry. I don't know who worked in prophecy and the gifts of teaching. Bro Hagin has one over eight of the world selling Christian literature of all time. So you can't say that's not a teacher. Amen. And he said, so what is going to be your specialty? Because there's this notion that it's either you're a teacher or you are a revivalist. But look at what Jesus showed us. Nicodemus said, we know you are a teacher. If I called him rabbi, which is a teacher of the law, he said, we know. That means the Pharisees have held meetings. They know that some things that you cannot eat. You can eat the man, but you can't deny that he's a teacher. Hallelujah. They said, we don't like you like that, but we know you are a teacher. There are some things you cleared. So he said, we know you are a teacher, for no man can do these miracles. And that must be how you tailor your own Christian experience to. You must know God's word, but that must not absolve you of the responsibility of signs and wonders. It's for everybody. Mark 16, Jesus said in verse 17, these signs shall follow those that believe. He's not pastors. The signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They speak with new tongues. It's for everybody. Regardless of your denomination, whether you're CAC or you're Catholic or you're Anglican, everybody is charismatic. Everybody can speak with new tongues. Everybody should speak with new tongues. Everybody should cast out devils. Can I have an amen? Come on, can I have an amen?
Amen.
I've told you before, regardless of your denomination, in the upper room that day, where they spoke in tongues, Mary was there. Holy Mary was there. Amen. I say, Holy Mary was there. Amen.
Amen.
So the church of God is a charismatic church. Charismatic means where the gifts of God are evident. So Nicodemus testified that about Jesus. He said, we know you are a teacher and that you work miracles. But he said something that we said we're going to clarify. He said, no man can do these miracles except God is with him. And we said, that's a blank check. Because when you said no man can do it, how many of you know Jesus Oyingo? You don't know Jesus Oyingo? You don't know? Okay, Gen Z, that's fine. I'm Gen Z too, by the way. Shout out to us. Miracles have happened in the world. You know Pella, Professor Pella. You will see sign, you will see wonder. Professor Pella will do wonders and you'll be wondering where it's coming from. Yeah, you'll be wondering. Because you wonder. Amen. But Nicodemus says something. But don't, we can't quote this. It's Nicodemus talking. He's not even born again. So you can't quote it and say, even the Bible says, no man can do miracles and say God is with him. No. Who said it? A man who is not born of the Spirit. If he's not born of the Spirit, what does that mean? He cannot see the kingdom of God. How do we get where we're coming from now? So that means Nicodemus's assertion has to be checked. Because we can't even trust that he has seen the kingdom of God. Don't forget, we said miracles, signs and wonders are not for a reserved few. They are not for the bishopric. They are not for the pastors. They are for everybody. When we come together in the church, the pastor is not meant to display it. No. We are all meant to collectively exercise what we have in Christ. It's not a show. It's not a display. It's fellowship. Are we together? Come on, are we together? Yet, there's a caveat. There's a postscript that we have to observe. That Nicodemus' assertion that no man can do miracles except God is with him is wrong. Because in Matthew 7, Jesus made a remark. So you put something in John 3 because that's our text. We're coming back there. In Matthew 7, are you having believers meeting?
Yes,
I didn't hear you very well.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Matthew 7. That's 20. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. The word enter is, can it also say see? Eh? Because Jesus used the word enter in verse 5. They say, no, except a man is born of water and of the spirit, cannot enter. So someone has said, hey, you know, in verse 3 it says, see the kingdom. Then in verse 5 it says, enter. Now you can see and not enter. Nah. You know, people like to be deep unnecessarily. There's no point forcing being deep. The Bible is simple enough. When you don't understand Greek, they translate it to English. Just so that you can know that it's simple enough. Amen. Say, yeah, you can see the kingdom and not enter the kingdom. No. Your seeing is your entry. Is your knowing. Hallelujah. So, it says, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, verse 21, Matthew 7, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Sorry, what's the will of the Father? 1 Timothy chapter 2. You have all men to be saved. Right? 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 and 4. God's will is that every man is saved. So, who enters the kingdom of God? The one who is... Huh? Shekinah. Alright, good. Let's go on. Verse 22. Can we read verse 22 and 23 together? I want to go. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out devils? Uh-huh. And in your name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. And I'll say, I never knew you. So, Nicodemus' assertion, is he right? Huh? Because Jesus just said here that many will even say we prophesied. We worked wonders. We cast out demons. They cast out themselves. Just kidding. We cast out demons in your name. And he will say, I don't know you. So, when Nicodemus said, no man can do miracles except God is with him. Is that right? Huh? So, again, can you see that you cannot just quote something out of the scriptures and fly with it? I've told you before that something is in the Bible doesn't make it biblical. Listen very well. Don't quote me out of context. Because in the Bible, you can justify slavery and slave trade. In the Bible, we have someone who raped his sister or his half-sister. Does that mean that's biblical? Huh? So, what is biblical? Biblical would be when you have read the entire book, then you come and say, this is what God is saying. For example, in Matthew 4, during the temptation of Jesus, the devil said, if you bow to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world, right? You know, I've seen someone quote that before. Facebook post. Just wrote Matthew 4, if you bow to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms. And people in the comments were saying, I bow. I bow to you, Lord. I bow to you, Lord. I receive all the kingdom of the world. But who said it? Huh? So, does that make it biblical? No. Biblical will be when you have read it together. Is it making sense? So Nicodemus saying, no man can do miracles. So that the next time you see someone at the market square or in the mall and they are saying, and they are doing wonders. You know, some things are wonders. All these AGT shows. You know AGT? America Got Talent. I saw one. Myself and my wife were watching one. And fire. The lady literally was carrying a pot of fire. A two pot. And she was juggling it with her leg. I don't know whether the fire was firing. With her leg. At some point she was head down. And she was using her leg to juggle in the air. Two pots of burning fire. Is that not wondrous? And I could not. I was saying, no, go. And then at some point she was playing with this, with two swords. I say, hey, America's got talent. No, America's got debt. Do your talent. I said they should just give her first and say, let her go home. Amen. You can't say, oh, because something is magical and miraculous, God is behind it. No. We need to check. And we are smart by the Spirit. So miracles can happen and God has no involvement. Just saying. But it will still be a miracle. And then people who suspend rain. Come on. I don't know people who suspend rain. I heard a story of a friend of mine went to Delta. So let me just mention. This is somewhere in Delta. They wanted to go do a burial. And he said that Baba just came. He said that they've seen the post out. Why have you not done the necessary? And he said, what's necessary? He said, we not owe rain. Then he said, in this dry season. The Baba said, okay, well, we shall see. It's almost as though he had rain in his pocket. So he said, it's dry season, we don't need that service. So the man just said, okay, well, we shall see. But if it's that dry, in 5 minutes, let's see what will happen. The very has not started, he's just throwing them to speed, you know. He's just racing the ball. So in 5 minutes, it's heavy downpour. So they ran to meet him and said, Baba, how much? You know, there are people who do that professionally. Their business can do. What do you do? Rain holder. Not PhD holder. I hold rain. But does that mean that's by the Spirit? But can that happen by the Spirit? Yes. I think Pastor Adeboye has done that before. He said when he was in UI, they had a fellowship in UI. And they were holding it outside. He said, I don't want it to rain here. And it was raining on the other side. Amen. But does that mean that everyone who now holds rain or stops rain is doing it by the Spirit? No. Hallelujah. Is that clear? He's going to say amen. Very good. So Nicodemus came to Jesus. We've not gotten to our text. He says, no man can do these miracles except God is with him. And we have said, that's half balanced, right? Also, we said miracles are for all believers. If you believe in God, then you have to believe in miracles. It's not only for the mature in faith. Funny enough, recently I had a pastor, someone who has a very huge following, and I'm going to correct this on air because I heard it on air. Someone has a very huge following, and he said something that we need to check, that miracles are not for the mature believers, that they are for babes. And he cited Luke 10. So turn with me. since we are there already. Started Luke 10. If an error is not corrected, what it can do is that it can impact an entire generation. And I think myself and the man are probably in the same generation, so we'll talk. Luke 10. So in Luke 10, Jesus sent out 70 disciples to go and preach. And in verse 17, the 70 returned with joy. Say with joy. We're going to get that. We're going to get there very soon. They returned with joy saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven. We've explained this in some of our other teachings. He wasn't saying Satan fell from heaven. We explained this properly. Behold, I give unto you power. Look at us, verse 19. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Again, serpents and scorpions there are showing the power of the enemy. Don't go and pick up a snake and say, he has given us power over serpents. No. You ought to go? Eh? Can you hear me? Don't, one church were passing serpent around and say, he has given us power over serpents. Until the serpent now got to the, I like the serpent, yeah. He knew who was betting the arrow. So the serpent got to the pastor. When the Bible says he has given us power over serpents and scorpions, he explained it immediately. That is over all the power of the enemy. Paul explained that too. We taught this in our teaching, Shake of the Beast, right? Shake of the Beast. So you can go listen to that. We taught this exegetically. And nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Can we read verse 20 together? Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirit are subject unto you, but rejoice because you're what? Huh? Now this is where we're going. Verse 21. Let me read. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven, that you have hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you are revealed on the babe. So the pastor said that casting out demons and all of those things that Jesus said he has hid it from the wise and prudent, and he has revealed it to babes. Now that means the work of the mature person in Christ is not to work miracles. Now that's for babes. That the mature is meant to be discipling. And I wonder how you make such assertions when you know that Jesus himself worked miracles. How do you say it's for babes when your Lord himself did it? So Peter was a babe, and Paul was a babe, and Stephen and Philip. The entire discourse falls before it starts. You can't say miracles are for the babes. Jesus worked miracles. So it's wrong. We are still dealing with people that say you have to mature to a certain height to work miracles or to no. And that is wrong too. Because you can get saved today, you can get born again today and work miracles today. If you have faith. If you hold strong on his word. I was not preaching. I was not a pastor when I healed the first sick person. I wasn't. I've explained to you before. It was a setup. Normal, we just go and preach. So one pastor said, young evangelist, I want you to come and preach. So I went to the church, UMC, in Ibadan. UMC, those of you that know UMC Junction. Before you go to Okeado, and it's a redeemed church. So it was a vigil, and I preached in Mark from Mark 11:23-24. So I said, if you have faith, everything is possible. I was so strong on faith that night. So when I was done, the pastor came to me and said, since you have even just started on faith and healing, that we need you to help us heal someone. There's a woman here. Amen. So they brought a woman who had a lump in her breast. Big one, obvious. I said, use that faith. So I started saying, hey, this is going to be serious. Because with all this mouth, he said a lot of things that night. If God does not heal, he's not God. If God does not heal, he did not call me. He not even call me. I make bold to say. So they said, since you have made bold already, just do it. So as they brought the woman, I faced back and I told God, I said, even if it's just this once that we eat the sick, I beg. Not for my heart. I was begging God like a politician that doesn't want to use his polling unit. Amen. So it's not for the mature. It's for all of us. Say it's all mine. Say healing is mine. The healing gift is mine. I don't find it strange. You know, someone can get sick, your neighbor, your friend, bestie. Don't just be bestie in a word. You can bestie in healing. Amen. Unbelievers, they know name of drugs, eh? Say, about to mix with me prazole, you'll be fine. You have never laid hands on the sick. I've told you again, medications don't work against the power of God. They work together. Is that clear? Uh-huh. Don't be like people that don't receive blood. You can take blood transfusion. Now they have taken it, they started taking it. Everybody will learn. Amen. The light of the gospel covers the earth. I say it covers the earth. So we said, is miracles or are miracles for the mature in Christ alone? Are they for babes? They are for Shekinah. Let's go back to Nicodemus, John 3. So verse 2. The same man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher from God, and no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, we have laid a foundation yesterday night. We said, what is Jesus telling Nicodemus? He's saying that to see the kingdom of God is by revelation. It's not by logic. It's not because you researched him. It's not because you read so much. No. God is seen when we turn to the Spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot know the kingdom of God. It's not on the leaves of research. It's by the Spirit of God. We saw Jesus telling Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you. He's not known from AI. I said, he's not known from AI. Say, tell me about the Lord Jesus. We are in days where even pastors are preparing sermons from AI. I don't think we should get there. We receive revival in the body of Christ. Amen. Teach me about consecration. A robot should teach you about consecration. Now we now start. Thinking. One. Consecration is the government of his people by people. No. So we said, when revelation comes, we're picking up from where we stopped last night. We said, what made a man sad? In this case, the disciples, right? On the road to Emmaus, they were sad. The same thing now made them return to Jerusalem with what? Not joy. Returned with what? Great joy. It's different. Great joy embarrasses the person next to you. I've told you before. Amen. The person is rejoicing you. Someone had great joy beside me before. Was a meeting at the Loring. 2014. We went for a conference at the Loring. That was 12 years ago now. And we so were rejoicing. I rejoice. I want the joy of this brother. I say, oh, mo. Some past joy. If they held him in chains, I understand. And he was completely sane. He was someone on tie. So it was not like he branched the meeting by mistake. He was on suit, tie, very clean shoes. And just like, and he went on the floor. And he was, I say, hey, great joy. Amen. Amen. Say, I've got great joy. Hallelujah. Sit down, Joe. So we don't understand what I'm saying yet. Don't worry. When revelation comes, You won't need anybody to tell you, you've already, you will know. Jesus did not tell them they have great joy. No, they went back with great joy. Great joy means people saw it and they said, nah, this is not just joy. It's great joy. Megas. The same event, the same facts, but they had a different reaction. Because now, their eyes have been opened. My eyes are open. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, he said, revelation knowledge is when God reveals his word and plan beyond plain sight. When God reveals his mind, his plan, his word beyond plain sight. So when Jesus says, thank you, Father, because you have eating this thing from the wise and prudent. We read that earlier, Abby. Luke 10:21. And you have revealed it unto babes. What is he saying? He's saying, the smarter you think you are, the farther you are away from knowing God. The day you think you have researched it properly, and oh, I'm so smart, I'm so intelligent, now I know what God is saying. He says, you are very far from it. You don't be smarter than God now. Come on. You can't be though. He's the smartest of the smart people. Amen. So, knowledge is revelation. Or his knowledge is by revelation. In 1 Corinthians 2, are you learning something? Huh? Okay. Paul was talking to the church in Corinth. In verse 2, he says, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus and him crucified. So we said, the message, don't forget, we said, we looked at the sermons in the book of Acts. Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 5, Acts 7, Stephen, Acts 8, Philip, Acts 10, Peter, in the house of Cornelius, right? Acts 13, Paul, right? Acts 16, Paul, Acts 22, and Acts 26. 10 sermons in the book of Acts. And we said, they all have one thing in common. What do they have in common? They are facts, right? One single truth, which was about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You can't get bored with it. Can't get bored. I said, you can't get bored with it. You have not known it yet. If you think you have known it, again, you are far from it. So Paul says, I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Verse 4, Paul says, and my speech and my preaching was not with what? The enticing words of... That means I didn't use my intellect. I didn't use my intelligence. But what? They were in what? In a demonstration. So, can we say Paul is saying, when I was preaching to you, I was speaking by revelation. Because that what the Spirit gives is revelation. Except a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot know the kingdom of God. That means the knowledge of the kingdom of God is born of the Spirit. You want to know who God is. It's not by your experiences. It's not by what you were told. It's not even by what the pastor teaches you. I'm meant to teach you so that you can see. But it's God that shows. Are you with me? You can't color God and box God to your experiences. How old are you? Even if you are the ancient of days, how many days? You can't box God and say, I already know him. When I was in Genesis 2, I prayed. Come on. He's bigger than you. He's greater than you. He's wiser than you. He's stronger than you, older than you. He's the greatest. Amen. Paul says, my speech and my preaching. If you are a pastor and you preach to people, you teach people. You don't have to be an ordained pastor. I mean, you have people, teenagers, anyone who you teach. Ensure it. You can't disciple people with motivation. It will wear out. We're going to see this morning that there's a limit to where human motivation can get to. It has a limit. Paul says, I determined to know nothing except Jesus and Him crucified. My speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't come to you and tell you, if you believe, I say you're great. Now, I know people who preach like that, and not that everybody who preaches like that preach at all. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, you know, if you aspire, you can Maguire. You know Maguire. I don't even know what you mean, but it sounds like a bad thing, right? You're right. Just kidding. My guy can be our disciple some days. You are wrong. Hallelujah. Receive all nations, man. He says, but my key preaching was with the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. No, before you go there, let's read verse 5 of that 1 Corinthians 2. Paul now says, so that your faith should not stand in what? In the wisdom of man. But what? Say, my faith stands in the power of God. My faith stands in the power of God. Yeah. So, the next time it looks like you're wavering, remember, your faith is not in the wisdom of man. Your faith is not in the experiences of man. Your faith is not in someone's books. No. Your faith is in the power of God. I say your faith is in the power of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 first. Then we'll go to chapter 4. Are we together? Verse 15. As verse 14, for the love of Christ constrains us. Because we judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. Again, if one died for all were dead. Is that what Paul read or what Paul has seen by revelation? Eh? Because who died on that cross? One man. Then Paul says, no, he died for all. I see what he's showing. So he said, if one man died, then he died for all. Verse 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Can we verse 16 together? Wherefore henceforth know we no man after? Yeah. Though we have known Christ after the flesh. So he's telling disciples, he's saying, I know you saw him. You ate bread. You even saw him sleep. They probably even saw Jesus fat. Amen. Says, you have known Christ before, after the flesh. He said, but right now, we know him no more after the flesh. Our knowledge of him is by the Spirit. The church must get to revelation knowledge. That is God's plan for us. He is known by the Spirit. The person of Jesus is known by revelation. Look at chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3. Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world has what? Blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of Christ, should shine unto them. Verse 5 says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and ourselves with a servant. Can we verse 6 together? I want to go. For God who commanded light to shine at that place, has shined where? So, again, where does God's light shine? Eh? Is that revelation knowledge? Yes. So that means your salvation story started by revelation. Except a man be born of the Spirit, he can't know the kingdom of God. John 3:3. He can't know the kingdom of God. He can't even have a glimpse. Your professor is smart. Yeah. He's smart in astrophysics. He's smart in, what? Give me all those. You know, there are some departments like that and some courses that when you hear it, you say, hey, so what are you studying? Astronomical. That's why everybody wanted to be an aeronautic engineer. You want to be in Nigeria. Because it sounds nice. You want to be an aerronautic engineer in Jabatec. Where your lecturer is entering Kurupe. Is it the thermodynamics? And the, no. Shout out to Yabatek. Amen. I'm not trying to play down on anybody. I'm just saying, aeronautic engineer in Yabatek. You not trek to the where you want to park the plane. He said, I want to become an astronomic. Sounds like I want to be, go to the moon. To do what? I want to be going to the moon. I want to study. That's why I like Broadway. Why? I want to study marine. Fish. Water. And he cannot swim. How do you study marine science and he cannot swim? May God give you revelation. There's another person that studied the same thing, but I will not mention. Hallelujah. Romans 1. So we said the knowledge of Christ will be by what? And we see how that impacts our service. Romans 1. In verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews and the Greek. Verse 17 says, for in the gospel is the power of God revealed, the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. Again, God is revealed in faith. He's revealed by the Spirit. He's not revealed by experiences. He's not revealed by what you see. You can't judge God because a church hurt you. 10 years ago, I was in that church and that pastor said this and my pastor did this and then they didn't treat me. You can't now use that to form your knowledge of God. No. God's kingdom is known purely by revelation. I said purely. Revelation is God's gift to us and we receive it. Amen. I said we receive it.
Amen.
We walk with Him by revelation.
Amen.
Because if you feel you know, then you won't see Him. Actually, those who are pastors. Actually young pastors like myself. I'm 16. I'll be 17 next week. There's a tendency that you've heard a lot. You have your sermon notes are full and you think you now know. No. If you think you know Him enough, then you won't see Him again. He's known by revelation. Not because you have researched. Not because you have oratory and you can talk. You can be so confident that you will not see Him again. But we'll see Him. I say walk in the gift of revelation. Remember that story of Elisha. Look up everywhere. Elisha was on the mount. Chilling. Nah, praying. And he was with his servant Gehazi. And the king sent troops to come and, you understand, kill them. Take them. Anything, arrest them. So Gehazi was just walking in the corridors of the mountain. Good morning, Jesus. Good morning, Lord. I know. Gehazi was just saying, give me some. He's all mine. He's all your. Then he yet took him. I see, by the Spirit. Took him. Then says in dust. Then that's when you know that they are much. And guys, he say, he will lick it. So he ran to the prophet and he said, sir, there's fire on the mountain. The prophet looked at the mountain and said, there's no fire on this mountain. Amen. Amen. He said, there's not, you're on the mountain, there's no fire. He said, sir, don't know that. This is not the time for a joke. Elisha said, I'm busy. He said, sir, may we not be busy to death. Sir, may we not be busy to death. There's a business that can kill a man. He said, what did you see? The king has sent, and there are plenty. What was Elisha's prayer for Gehazi? He said, Lord, open his eyes. Oh, what a prayer. He now said something. He said, open his eyes to see that they that be with us, listen, are more. He didn't say than them. He said, than they that be with them. He didn't just see the army. He saw the force behind it. He saw the authority behind that army. Are you with me? But with the eyes to see it, not yet, until his eyes are open. Can we quickly pray like that? Open my eyes. That's something. Open my eyes to see Jesus. to see your plans and purpose for me, for my family, to see what you are doing. So I don't run out of scatter. So I don't cry. I don't cry all my life. So I don't scream blue mud. I don't scream oppression and depression. No. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. So I don't chase the wind. Amen. Just Lord, open his eyes. To see that they that be with us. Sometimes the things you say you are going through is because you have not seen something. Some of your hardest moments, you are accompanied by innumerable company of angels. So when Gehazi's eyes were open, what did he saw? He saw angels, chariots of fire round about them. Then suddenly the man that was saying, there's fire on the mountain, said, yeah, I can see it. Truly, there's fire on the mountain. Amen. I said, there's fire on the mountain. Hallelujah. He said, yeah. So Gehazi will now walk out and say, things are going to happen, but not to us. The things, what was making him scared, will now make him laugh. Why? His eyes are open. Are you there? I don't know. In fact, all this Christianity stuff. I'm just depressed. I don't know what's going on. Even when they are teaching God's word, I don't really know how to react. You are not confused. It's revelation that is missing. The day your eyes open, you begin to laugh. I say, yeah, God is good, oh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I told you, Moses wanted to help God. He wanted to do the work of God. When he saw an Egyptian maltreating an Israelite, he went to him. Finish that one. But you can't do ministry based on dopamine. You can't serve God because you are excited alone. It will wear out. So, when he discovered that they were after his life, he ran. He didn't get that one. He ran to the Strait of Hormuz. I realized that actually. It's fine. You guys are too spiritual to see it. It's fine. He ran. I will say it again, he ran. So he fled for about 40 years. Then one day, he passed through where he has always been passing. The same place. The same place. The same street he has always been preaching. And suddenly, he saw a sight. It's a burning bush. Moses said, what's this? What's going on here? There's fire and the bush is not burning. Then God said, put off your shoes. The place you are standing is holy ground. Ah, say revelation. See, that's an encounter, right? You know you can have it. You can hear God audibly. I mean, not the voice of man. I mean the voice of God. You can hear him. You can see him. They are not forgotten experiences. They are not things that are in the past. No, it's mine. I always say, there are experiences that are Christian experiences that we must have. The same Moses, the same bush. He had been rearing sheep there all life. 40 years. Have you seen? Then he saw. Say he saw. Say he saw. Not he saw. He saw. Amen. I'll see the Lord. And it will change everything. I'll see the Lord. It will change everything. I'll see the Lord. It will change everything. So he saw. He saw the Lord. And I said, you are going to go back to Egypt. He said, eh? I said, what? He said, yeah, the same place you ran away from. The Moses said, who should I say sent me? That's where it gets interesting. They say, God said, you are going to tell Pharaoh, I am. So I am what? I am that I am. I'll be what I'll be. Tell him, I am sent you. Suddenly, the same Moses that ran away from the palace went there with his own legs. I said, one of the greatest miracles, whether he's hidden from you or you're not, you will see it now by revelation. Let me open your eyes. I've said it before in church. One of the greatest miracles in that entire story was that Moses was walking to that palace daily and Pharaoh could do nothing about it. It wasn't that he was even turning water to blood. It was that Pharaoh could not touch him. I mean, just kill the man, right? He could not. That's one of the greatest miracles in that story. The same Moses that ran away now walked in. Said, do you know this face? This is now my real face. So, Pharaoh said, what do you want? Said, who are you doing voice for? Stop it. You stop that. I didn't come here to play. So who sent you? Who's your backing? I am. Do you know him? I know him. I am said, let my people go. Pharaoh said, are you joking? Moses said, So let's test it now. He dropped his Aaron's staff. That became a snake. Pharaoh said, ha 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 ha. Staff to snake. Magic 101. He said, call the all those interns. It's the interns that you must see. So this is what you pam. They also became snakes. God said, let's start the drama. So Aaron's snake, or the one that Aaron's rod dropped, swallowed the rest. Pharaoh said, it's not like if we had a bigger rod. He said, come with him. The rod is small. If you had a bigger rod, I want to swallow. Moses said, no water. We'll be here tomorrow. The same place he ran away from. What's the difference? Revelation. The same fellowship he ran away from. The same work of ministry that was looking tedious, that was looking laborious, that was looking unattainable, that was looking like it was not fruitful. Revelation changes everything. So dedication to Christ without revelation can frustrate a man. I'm dedicated to Christ. So you go for meetings. You know, you like to hear the gospel songs and all of that. And then you like to be edified by the Spirit. Without revelation can frustrate. No matter how zealous you are. It will always feel like being pressured. Why did Peter deny Jesus? There was no revelation. The day revelation and his eyes were open, he was willing to face persecution. Dedication is not enough. See, dedication is not enough. Dedication and consecration are fueled by revelation. It's not rhyme, so. Hear it. Dedication and consecration. That devoted life you want. They are fueled by what? Revelation. On Sunday morning, I'm going to talk about consecration properly. And I'm going to talk about addictions a bit. And how to convert it. I trust that your eyes are open. Yes. Spend time to pray for your disciples. Just pray for revelation. What that guy needs is not more calls. It's good to do follow up. What is needed is to see. The day he sees, he can follow up on you. You know how your disciple follow up on you before. You know how the disciple follow him? His disciple that will be calling you and say, I'm already in the church hall. I have not seen you. You are not going to say, I went to call someone. Something has changed. He has seen something. So that time you are using to say, what's wrong with you? What's always doing you? What's the problem with you? Go on your knees. Go on your knees and pray for him, for her. That God himself show himself to him. Because there's a limit to how much influence a human being can push you. You need your eyes to open. You find some folks, every time there's prayer meeting, Their line is off. He said, there's prayer meeting. I'll be there. Is it not the one that trust me, I'll be there. As he's telling you, he already has plan. DND. Not only DND, airplane mode. Not only airplane mode. Switch off the entire thing. No, it's like Nigerians. Every time you say Nigerians, say, can you borrow me? And I say, if you had just come 30 minutes ago, he's a liar. I just used that money 30 minutes ago. Oh. Disciple, when I call him, I say, prayer meeting. Can you believe that? If I had someone to have called me, sounds like you have arranged the busy DND. What he needs is what?
Revelation.
Like he has it, right? Like Moses. What he needs is to see. And we all collectively will see.
Amen.
I say we will see.
Amen.
You are not saying that amen very well. I remember one of my disciples some years ago, I must have shared this story. In Ibadan. I went to his house Sunday morning. So he always said that in his area, that they used to fight for water. I know that. So I've shared this story before. Okay, I shared it. Good. So I already planned him. I went early. I said, where's your bucket? So I took two buckets. I said, you want to fetch water? That you not come to church today. So after we went foul. So we went to fetch water. Because water works, there is water works. Government used to supply water to communities. So how many of us met that? The country has changed. The way they brought light, they used to bring water. Yes, they are supplying water. But then they had not supplied water for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Usually it's always about that range. So we had to go to one Alaji that had tanker. What is iron tanker? Then you pay, I don't know how much, 5 naira or something per keg. So we fetched. I was sweating with my church clothes. We had a meeting. So when we got to his house, he said the bedroom is not free. I was just looking at him. It's not free, Harry. I'll wait here. He said, face my face. So I was waiting in front yard. I just go like, I've not heard this brother for a while. So I went to the back. He wasn't there. The water was there. I had to knock on their door again. He had gone back to bed. So he came out and said, I don't think I'll be able to go again. I said, are you mad? I was almost throwing Bible down first. I said, are you crazy? You know what? Say it again. Say it again. You'll not be able to what? If I've not fed that water, it's another thing. I don't use fed water at all like this. But what should I have done? I should have prayed for him. Revelation will make him store water the previous day. Amen. Revelation will bring that eagerness. What he needs was not someone to pressure him. What he needed was his eyes to be open. I hope you are ready to pray a bit this morning.
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes,
you are ready. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We receive revelation.
Amen.
I say we receive revelation.
Amen.
Because that changes everything. It changes your purpose in life. You see why I said that yesterday night? We were not able to go into much things. Revelation changes your purpose. The disciples were preaching to Israel, Jews. Meanwhile, what was the Great Commission? Matthew 28:19, all nations, right? You are going to go into all nations, going to the world. But they were preaching to Israel. They could not act. They could not see it. It's not that they hated other nations, though. Mm-mm. They just could not see, they could not see how they could do it. Until revelation came.
till Acts 10. Peter was still calling the Gentiles unclean. This is the man who has gotten 3,000 saved. Who has gotten 5,000 saved. In chapter 5. That's 8,000 already. Simple. I say simple. The same man was still calling some people unclean. But when God opened his eyes, he said, should we be putting a yoke on the neck of these disciples that God has not put there? What God has called clean, let us not call unclean. That did not come from reading. That came from seeing something.
I'll see the Lord.
There is little to what research can do. The Christian faith is built on the work of the Spirit itself or himself. So we said it gives you a purpose. In Luke 24:49, they now saw that purpose. In verse 48, it says, you are witnesses of these things, of the things that will be preached. In verse 47, remission of sins should be preached among in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In verse 48, it says, you are witnesses of these things. Verse 49 says, and behold. Behold means what? To. Jesus said, behold. You will see the nations. I say you will see the nations. If as a believer, you are still treating some people somehow, it's because you have not seen God's grand plan. In God's plan, there's no racism. In God's plan, there are no tribes and ethnic groups. Because you are sent to them all. Amen. Yes. Something is blinding your eyes. Say, I cannot preach to you in South Africa. Say, why? I read in the news that South Africans, shut up. See God's plan. See God's plan. Behold. That's what I said. That means we have a responsibility to surrender ourselves to see. To see what God is doing in us and through us. Are you with me this morning?
Yes, sir.
If you have someone who just received Christ or who just joined church, one of the first things you should do is to pray for them for revelation. Believers of church, are you listening to me? Ibadan people, are you listening to me? To pray for revelation. If you like, encourage, motivate. It has limits. You have to pray that they see. That's why, if you're a pastor's kid, you probably know what I'm talking about. Or your parents were, you know, there's something we call elder. Or your parents were just pious. That you were forced to do morning devotion. Let me know. You were forced to do morning devotion growing up. Let me see your hands. Did you enjoy it? Let me see. You enjoyed it. If you enjoyed it, let me see. Me, I did not. At the beginning, it was sweet. Until the days I wanted to sleep longer. And my mom had this very look that if she gives you that look and that knock. In the morning, calling. Yeah, you are already going by the spirit. You're already going in the morning, almost like in the midnight. Early in the morning, sustain. They have already gotten the I will rise and praise the Lord. You have not even risen. You are still on bed. Good morning, Jesus. We begin to thank the Lord. Why? Why are we thanking him every morning? He got to that point. And that's why he's always like, pastor's kids, you know, sometimes. But no more. Because they will see.
Amen.
Hey, pastor, pray for your children. You can't push them. You can't push them and say, because you're a pastor's child. You will serve Jesus by force. No, could it work? You know what works? Open eyes. That's what works. You can't force, you can't tie them and say, you will learn Jesus by force. No! At some point they will ask you, why are we even doing all these things?
Why am I a Christian? They are not going to be frustrated. Especially in days of fasting, that's why he has those ones. When they say fasting, we are going to fast for 40 days. See, why? What did we do to God? Who sinned? Who sinned in this house? 40 days. You are forcing the person to fast 40 days. He cannot see the reason why he's fasting. He doesn't know what to expect from it. He doesn't know why we are doing it. Maybe Yusuf, no. Just say we are fasting. But we begin to see. Yeah. Hey, I said we begin to see. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our eyes are open. Our eyes are open. Our eyes are open. A man will remain unstable until revelation happens. Peter was there when Jesus was arrested. But there was a gap. The spirit of truth we spoke about yesterday. He said, when he comes, he will teach you all these things. He will lead you into all these things. That was the gap. So when Paul happened, and Paul taught, Peter said, remember Apostle Paul, he has taught all of these things in all his epistles, 2 Peter 3 to 15. Peter alluded that Paul taught properly in the church, and I was given the ministry to the Gentiles. You can see Jesus like this, physically. And still not have revelation. It is by the Spirit. Did Thomas not touch his hand? Eh? Jesus appeared in that room. He said, it's not you. Jesus said, it's not me. Thomas, it's not me. Thomas. Tommy boy. So, call it again. Tommy boy. There's only one person that used to call me that too. It's Jesus. Say, I'm Jesus now. Jesus has died now. Oh, blessed memory. R.I.P. my Lord. You say, don't R.I.P. I'm alive. Hallelujah. He said, I'm alive. Someone said, I believe. We are all alive. Let me see your hand again. Say, my hand, this is my hand. A ghost has no wound. He said, who told you? Can I put my hand in? He wanted to be sure. Meaning that seeing Jesus physically is not enough. Paul was not there. That's why it's funny. You can go to Jerusalem today, see the empty tomb, and still not see him in your heart. You can go there and say, almost see Golgotha. Golgotha look fine, man. Real estate. You know? See space. It's plenty. Amen. This Lagos is a funny place. Say, see space. Golgotha, see space. You can pack up to 12 cars. Excuse me. Hallelujah. You can go to... He said, I must see the river where Jesus was baptized. See Jordan. You can even swim there for 1 hour and still not see that when he died, you died with him. Because it takes revelation. Are you with me? Start to round up now. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? So the revelation of Jesus, the way we see the world changes. You ask God that his death was for everyone. His spirit is for everyone. That's why I said, he started giving you a new purpose, a new direction. It takes revelation to see people the way God sees them. It takes revelation to see people the way God sees them. Ananias, I told you, When Paul was Paul, before he was Paul, the apostle Paul that was killing people, I'll be Saul of Tarsus. If you hear his name, everybody scatter. Say, Paul is coming to Lagos. Every church will first say, we have to be on alert now, right? So they say, what we heard, information reaching us, is that Saul of Tarsus has come to Lagos. So, we might not be able to hold services like that.
but he met with Jesus. Then he said, ah, so the church and Jesus are one. I'm fighting against myself. Then Jesus appeared to Ananias in that Acts 9. And said, Jesus said, Ananias, he said, yes, Lord. It was not strange. Visions are not strange to me. You know, it used to be, when people say, I saw a vision, someone would look at you and say, Sister Toby says she saw a vision, no. Anybody can see this day, so. No. It's for all of us. I say it's for all of us. You see visions. I say you see visions. I say you see visions. You will know things before they happen. Supernaturally. Your eyes are open. You see him in your dreams. I said you see him in your dreams. Have your seat. So Jesus appeared to Ananias. And it was not strange. It was almost like every day happening. And Jesus said, Ananias, there's a man on the street called Straight. Not the street of Romans. Yeah, something like that. On the street called Straight, whose name is Saul. Ananias was shake. Say, Lord, say it again. I hear. Whose name is what? Saul. Then Ananias speak boots. Just say, come here. Say, Lord, I thought you were warning me. He said, no, now. It's everything. He says, you go and pray for him. Ananias said, You want to come into glory. Say, Lord, I know you have been gone for a while. But we are the ones that are here. This man that you are mentioning. Lord, you know your guy now, Peter. Even if Peter are here, Lord. Saul will be here. Oh. He just said, shh. I have appointed him. Immediately Ananias saw Paul. You know what he said? He said, brother Saul. Hallelujah. It takes revelation to see people the way God sees them. That disciple, you always talk on. Only you. I have corrected you. What's happening in your life? You know how people like that before? You know how people that just say, I leave you to God. It's only God that can disciple you. Sometimes you might not even start seeing them. Even conduct wise. How can you as a believer? This is what you are doing. Eh? You're sick. Every time you're holding sleep. Chelsea. Villarreal. Over 19,000.2. We have corrected you. As you are correcting him, if you chuck your hand in his pocket, you're gonna bring out a white sleep. It's not the Bible. As you are correcting, he's analyzing. Man, you Chelsea, they lost. Go. Humanly, you start seeing that person in a different light. We just leave it to God. Let him take care of you. It takes revelation to see that same person and say, you're a minister of the gospel. I see you. I see that God is using you. It takes revelation to see people the way God sees them. Because whether you like it or not, God does not see that go-go. He sees it, he'll correct it. He'll work on it. But that's not God's impression of that person. Amen. By the way, one or you sleep every time. Don't share any. You know, a believer that does Colossae. You know, Colossians. What's the Bible, Ephesians? Colossae. He has not gone to... And Colossians has 4 chapters. You have done it more than 4 times. Quit now. And there's no second Colossians. I pray for those who are seeking ways out of addiction that you will see revelation. Amen. The day you see who you are,
you stop acting like what you're not. Eh? If someone calls you, Yusuf, 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 she's not answering me because her name is not. Is it making sense? Come on, is it making sense? So the reason why you are still answering some things is because you don't know who you are yet. The day you find out who you are by revelation, I said the day you find out who you are, and God shows you who you are, there are some things you stop attending to. It will look like, what was that? I can't do it. What do you mean? What do you mean sugar and smoke? What do you mean we should sleep around? No. That's not me. Amen. That struggle is not beaten by desire alone. It's beaten by revelation. And you will see. Amen. Are you with me this morning now?
Yes,
Glorious House Church, there's a need to see. We need revelation. I said we need revelation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We need revelation. That must be what forms our dedication. Our dedication to Christ and His church must be fueled. Pray for me as I close. Must be fueled by revelation. We must see something. The question is, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? And that's why we say we're going to pray that God opens our eyes. Before we can start teaching outpouring of the Spirit, we must teach the indwelling of the Spirit. The person needs to see that Jesus did not say goodbye. He never said goodbye. He never left. I said he never left. I said he never left. He lives here. He lives here. He indwells us by his Spirit. You know, the Spirit of God in you is the Spirit of Jesus. It's the same Spirit. Same God walking in you. The same one who rose Lazarus from the dead now lives in you. So why were you scared? Why were you scared the other time? Why do you say you're confused? When the same one who called light out of darkness now dwells in you. But you see, the reason why a man will not be able to walk in that is because he doesn't even know. He hasn't seen it. He hasn't seen it. He doesn't know he's capable of laying hands on the sick and the sick will be healed. And I mean, he doesn't know he can lay hands on the dead man and he will jolt back to life. That is the power that indwells us. But we'll not walk in it until we see it. It's important to see it. We must know who we are by revelation. So that we don't answer who we are not. The knowledge of God by revelation is what makes us effective. You can't keep running from pillar to post trying to find God. He's not on the blogs. He's not on YouTube. He's not on TikTok. He's somewhere close to your heart. You know what he told the church in Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door. Knocking. He's telling you the same this morning. Knocking. If any man will open to me, he'll see me. I'll come into him. I'll eat with him and he eat with me. He's not talking to a sinner. He was talking to the church. I stand at the door. Knocking. To show myself. I said it earlier. the things that got you perplexed, they are not worth worrying about if you have revelation. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus. You see, revelation turns around your entire Christian faith journey. There are folks who go to church maybe because of money. If God meets their needs and bills are paid, that's their entire point of Christianity. But life is more than that. That's why if you travel out of the country and then to a good country, because not every travel out is a, you understand? Not to mention any country. We see them the way God sees them. Amen. And then you see where the basic things are met. You know, where you don't have to shout up NEPA. People start withdrawing from their faith because all their life they were trained that the reason why they were following Jesus was so that they don't end up poor. But the richest man in the world, he's not a pastor. So faith in Christ is not the doorway to wealth. There are many reasons why people are rich or poor, and their faith is not even one of it. The revelation of Jesus and our identity as believers goes beyond our needs. You've not seen someone who has not eaten and is jumping for joy. And then you see the rich. He has no problem. It's not like anything's happening, but it's just sad. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." Not the one the world gives. They are different. Until we start seeing what you thought you had as a Christian experience, you now know that now. So you now understand why the prophets and the apostles will say, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And you wonder, how do you pull out this joy? Where did you get it from? How are they persecuting someone? And is they saying, "Glory, glory, glory." Where did he get it from? Because the Christian faith can only be lived by revelation. There is something you are yet to see that you ought to see. There's something you're yet to know that you ought to know. There's something you are yet to perceive that you ought to perceive. And this morning is calling you by name. And he's saying, "I want to show you what you've not seen before. I want to show you what you've not heard before. I want to reveal myself to you. I want to call you by name and give you new experiences." I say new experiences. This morning marks the beginning of new experiences. I begin to see the Lord in a special way. My fellowship with the Father is getting better. It's getting better. I now have the Christian experience because my eyes are open. So you now get why Paul, we now say in Ephesians 1, say, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He's praying for the church that the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of Him. What a prayer. Paul is telling the church, there are things you have not seen. Moses, look up. Moses worked miracles in Egypt. Yes or yes? They got to the sea. Moses lifted up his hand.
and the sea part into two. Moses fed Israel for 40 years. Their shoes did not wear out. Guess what Moses said? Guess his prayer point. Show me your glory. Moses, how? With all these things, Moses said, there's still something to see. There's something he can open my heart to. That when he shows up, it drowns every other thing. Every other thing becomes shadows. You see, that struggle is false. That your struggle, I'm trying to juggle church, is a false struggle. You really don't need to struggle. You just need your eyes to be open. When your eyes are open, when your eyes are open, you will see strength. You will draw strength from unusual places. Junctions that used to appear weak will become source of inspiration. Things that used to appear burdensome will now look light. Not because anything has changed. It's still the same situation. But the people who were sad when their eyes were open returned with great joy. Same people, same events, same place, different reaction. That's a revelation. So Jesus says to Nicodemus, your eyes need to be open. Your eyes need to be open. One of the things God told us about this conference this year, like I said again, is going to reshape the way you fellowship with God. Quite a number of Christians don't even know. They've not felt Him before. There's something the apostles felt that could make them say, kill me now if you want to kill me. I'm not denying Him. There's something they went through. Are you listening to me? Now, the same Peter that when there was storm, they were running to Jesus. We want us to die. Do you want us to die? Do you want us to die? When they put him in prison, he was sleeping. He was not anxious again. He was saying, prison. He slept. I say he slept. So you see that struggle is not real. It's a false struggle. That weakness is false. If your eyes are open, it changes everything. So Paul says, I pray that you receive the wisdom of the Spirit and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Now you get the prayer now. You want to pray it? Now pray it.